The Moon, Part 1. Hello once more, thank you for joining me here for another video. I hope you are all doing very well. I am Marie Swaru. The moon has filled Earth's night sky with mystery and beauty for thousands of years. It has inspired from packs of wolves to poets and painters, and through the ages everyone has wondered what it is, and how far is it. It has always been associated with magical things, with the esoteric and with the metaphysical. Its ghostly light has inspired both fear because of the shadows it produces, and because of its calming and soothing effect. But what is the moon? This is the information about the moon that the United Federation of Planets, or Galactic Federation, officially states, and it differs drastically from the also official information about it, but from Earth. The information is so different that it causes immediate disbelief in most of the population of Earth, as the official version of it is much simpler, and a lot more logical, if we only observe the official story given by Earth science. This difference causes a clear rupture of worlds and realms, where what is a fact in one differs so much from the other that it is simply incompatible with one another, as there are so few parts in common, and a lot of previous baggage and knowledge are necessary to be able to understand each side. It is hard for people in space to comprehend how and why people see and explain the moon as they do, and it is even harder for people from Earth to understand how stellar people see and experience the moon, as their information is more limited and controlled than the one available for the stellar people. I'm not going into describing how the moon is seen, explained and understood on Earth, because you all have a lot of that already. I rather will describe what is said and seen on this side, from space. All I will mention is that even Earth scientists know that the moon's existence is much of an anomaly, as many things about it simply don't add up. For example, the simple fact that the moon is 400 times smaller than the sun, but it is also 400 times closer, so they appear to be the same size in the night sky, this also making total solar eclipses possible. And also, the moon is by far too big, and too massive in relationship with the size of planet Earth, to be a natural satellite. The next is stellar information. Many highly advanced stellar races use super large starships that are basically artificial planets. These artificial planet-sized starships are usually spherical in shape, as it is the most practical and efficient shape for a super large craft, because in space there is no correct up nor down, and a ship simply is as it is, floating there, so the best shape is the one that is most comfortable for what it has been designed for. These super large crafts are engine equipped and they can travel through space autonomously, not needing to orbit any star system permanently. They are starships, motherships, not planets. They are slow to move compared to other smaller ships, but they have full interstellar capacity. But because of their relatively slow speeds, many races choose to use natural solar portals and star wormhole transit systems. These large crafts are slow compared to other smaller ships, needing several days or even weeks to move from one star system to another, in an interstellar manner, while other ships can jump that distance in a matter of hours, and the smaller, most agile craft such as the fighter class can travel that same distance in only a few minutes. The moon is a massive wreck of one of those large planet-sized ships. It is what was left of a biosphere starship that was once home to millions of Andromedan people, but that was devastated some 12,500 years ago in what is now called the Tiamat Wars. I cannot go into describing what the Tiamat Wars were all about because I would get seriously sidetracked, but I will do so in another video. But in a few words, the Tiamat Wars were a skirmish or a big fight between two rivaling factions, one of them belonging to the Galactic Federation, and during those wars, High-power weapons were used, including ionizing nuclear ones. My group has serious doubts about how nuclear weapons work, but they are included in the Galactic Federation data I have access to, so I mention them here. In short, what my group detects and notices about nuclear detonations on Earth is that they are congruent with blasts from energy weapons of other kinds, which also happen to leave behind ionizing radiation residue. But then again, this is another subject. Tiamat was a large watery planet, about 80% the size of Neptune, that orbited the Sun between Mars and Jupiter, where the asteroid belt resides today, and the asteroid belt is what was left of it after it was destroyed in that war. The asteroid belt is made of dirty ice balls, mostly water with rocks, dust, and gravel, all clumped together forming large chunks. Tiamat means the watery one, and it was known by the Sumerians who said that there were 10 planets, and the Babylonian text Enuma Elish talks about it. It was also called Lucifer, and the meaning of the word Lucifer is, son of the morning. And it is the origin of the Spanish word, Lucero, which means in English, bright star. As it was a water planet, it shined in the sky like a second dimmer sun, as a mirror, and this is the origin of the idea that the sun is a binary system, which it is not. It served Earth and its biology and inhabitants as the moon does today because there was no moon back then. The word catastrophe literally means the death of a star, and its origin goes back to Tiamat's destruction. The high-energy mass destruction weapons used there destabilized the planet, which started to wobble uncontrollably as it has vast oceans, until it fell apart and disintegrated. In this war, the surface of Mars was also devastated, forcing its inhabitants underground, at least mostly. The water of Tiamat circled the solar system, falling towards the Sun, at least mostly in a liquid state, as things don't freeze in space as you are told on Earth, because in a vacuum there is no heat transfer, so objects retain their temperature for a very long time. Space is not a perfect vacuum, but that is also another story. The waters of Tiamat were mostly captured by the Sun, but a lot of it was attracted to the planets Venus and Earth, where it fell from the sky as heavy non-stop rain, for 40 days and 40 nights as the story goes, causing the great flood and destruction that also devastated Earth. This added mass coming from all that water destabilized Earth, causing its axis to tilt and causing a polar shift. After this war ended, with heavy losses from both sides, the Galactic Federation decided to artificially move into Earth's orbit one of their battle-damaged spherical biosphere ships to help stabilize the planet, as it was also wobbling as Tiamat did before its destruction, and has been there ever since. The moon was built a very long time ago by Arcturian and Andromedan engineers, in the region now known as Boots Void, near the Arcturian planet Pitoia. The data about the exact date is incongruent and impossible to accurately obtain, as time and its duration varies hugely. Time is not a constant and cannot be taken as one, much less while observing events that took place far from Earth. It entered this solar system right before the Tiamat battle and was used as the Federation's main FOB or forwards operating base. It sustained many fierce enemy attacks and suffered great damage and loss of life in the millions. It was beyond repair. The moon was towed into Earth's orbit and placed there artificially to serve as a counterbalance for the planet. The moon's surface is quite void of detail, or surface features, as it is basically a metal ball. It is much like the Death Star in the Star Wars saga, but without the main big dish that one has at one side. As this could be seen easily from the surface of Earth, the Galactic Federation's engineers placed an array of thousands of hologram projectors, all synchronized with each other, to produce a realistic hologram of a natural moon, ridden with craters, right in front of the moon's metallic surface. The moon's light is the reflection of sunlight, that is correct, but the light goes through a transparent holographic film that gives it its features. These are detailed enough to pass as a real surface when seen with powerful telescopes because the hologram is in high resolution. But it is not perfect, and many people using civilian-sized telescopes with decent power have managed to detect the hologram resetting, among other telltale and reveling lighting anomalies. The moon is also actively transmitting interfering frequencies that have a frequency-lowering effect on Earth and its inhabitants, and the moon also is the one who is changing and modulating the Earth's magnetosphere's frequency to serve as an ethical barrier, the one known as the Van Allen belts. The moon is an active and critical component in maintaining Earth's 3D matrix realms and all its characteristics and illusions, as I will detail in the second part of this video. But strong souls who have reached a high spiritual awakening level can transcend all that the moon is transmitting and imposing onto the population, to the point where it becomes irrelevant to them. Strong awakened souls are immune to the moon's frequencies. They transcend them, and only choose to see her beauty in the night sky, hologram or not. The moon is beautiful and romantic. To be continued in the second part, soon. Thank you for watching my video and for liking and subscribing. I appreciate it a lot. And I hope to see you here next time. Be wise and be well. With much love. Your friend, Marie Soirou.